keeps finding us. It's like he knows how to track us down.
I don't know how he found us, but it wasn't with normal instruments.
There is nothing on the ship.
Everyone, stay alert.
Oh, man! Oh, what's going on? What are you guys doing? What are you looking at?
You woke yourself up snoring.
My bad.
Yeah! Let's start the show!
Welcome to Cord Killers 2017, the future of television. Our mission to report the intel from the front lines of the cord-cutting revolution so you, my friends, have the information you need to be able to watch what you want, when you want, where you want, on whatever device you want. I'm Tom Merritt.
See, I'm Brian Brushwood, but I feel like the folks over at Voltron, they made a mistake. They had an opportunity there to say, it's like Zarkon knows where we are, here on Netflix, with new episodes releasing in just 11 days.
Is it just 11 days, really?
Yeah, no, I got really excited. I saw that, and I forwarded it over to my daughter, who's 12 years old, and in all caps, I was like, new episodes of Voltron in 11 days! And my 12-year-old daughter says, yeah, but that's also the day Trump becomes our president.
So, whoa, really?
So the 42-year-old man, super pumped about Voltron. The 12-year-old daughter, worried about the future of our country.
Like, let's be honest, Dad. There's a little more going on that day.
I know.
A little more importance.
Well, what can you do?
That's amazing. Joining us today, we're very happy to have Roberto Villegas back on the show.
How's it going?
A.K.A. Vincent 404. How have you been, man?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
2017 treating you all right so far?
So far. We'll find out in 11 days or
days. Dude, we'll Voltron
yeah. Because we gauge our success on the quality of new Voltron episodes.
Absolutely.
It's sort of like Groundhog Day.
I gauge a lot of success on the success of Voltron.
Yeah,
right.
As you should. You know, today is a special day, Brian. I don't know if you realize this, but it's the 10-year anniversary of a huge Apple announcement.
Oh, my God. Do you remember where you were? I have mine in my hand. Do you?
I have mine in my hand too. Actually, though, that's so funny. Because I was at CES when this announcement was made.
Oh my God. I remember. I remember it was like the biggest moment 10 years ago today. All right, we're gonna hold it up on three. Read one, two, three. Huh?
Yeah, I ordered it right away.
We're not holding the same thing all.
Today was the day the Apple TV went from being the iTV to the Apple TV. They opened up pre-orders. It was shipping in February, I still have mine. What are you holding up?
The original iPhone, the device where my kids watch most of their television.
I guess they announced that the same day, huh?
I have noticed that there are fewer puppies stickers on the backs of iPhones nowadays.
Maybe that's just considered design change.
Yeah, no. Ever since Jobs was really into the puppy stickers,
I forgot that puppy phase that Apple went through.
Yeah, well.
All right. Let's move on to the primary target. So Hulu finally got CBS on board, and at CES. They started doing private showings of their upcoming live streaming television service. I was not lucky enough to get one, but Chris Welch from The Verge did. And they got some details. Some of them we already knew, some of them we didn't. But the whole package is now here, except for the price and release date. It'll be available in the Hulu app. They're not going to create a separate app. If you want to subscribe to the live TV service, it'll just show up in the Hulu app you have now. It'll be priced less than $40. You'll get two simultaneous streams and a cloud DVR with a small amount of storage. And they hinted around that they're going to be able to sell you more simultaneous streams and more storage at a higher level. That's how they're going to increase their money. New users, when you first set it up, will answer some questions about movie and TV tastes. If you're already a Hulu user, they will pull in that as well. And it's kind of a Beats Music setup. They're going to try to create a lineup that they call Lineup, that will show you on-demand and live things that Hulu thinks you'll want to watch on your mobile devices. They'll do notifications based on preferences. Say, if you say my favorite sports team is the St. Louis Blues and the Blues are about to play hockey on a channel, they'll let you know that. There'll be the other sections, very similar to the existing Hulu. And there'll be a live TV section, although no live TV guide. Just a section with what's on live TV, kind of like PlayStation View has on Roku right now, if you're familiar with that. There'll be a leaving Hulu soon section, which actually is just for everybody, whether you're getting the live TV service or not, so you can watch something before it leaves the Hulu selection. You'll be able to pause any network show, rewind from where you started watching, just like on a DVR, and they say it should come out in the coming months.
So
probably by summer, for sure.
So surprisingly, I think the most interesting feature is something that sounds like it's a detriment, but I actually think it's a brilliant, brilliant idea. The idea of letting people know there's a deadline approaching, and that if you want to see this one thing, you got this many days to do it. Like, that should depress me and make me upset about the service. Instead, does nothing but has me pumped. Let's go.
That's been there for a while. Like, I'm a very avid user of Hulu, and typically in the program say this expires soon. One episode expiring. It's sort of a common thing they've been doing. Which I'm
glad. Have you ever felt bad about that announcement though?
Not really.
Right.
I mean, for me, it's not so much because it's like, oh, cool, I know rights. What excites me for this whole announcement is the same app, because typically they'll do the kind of thing to sort of build traction of like, well, we'll put in a different app. It's the live app. This is where you watch it. Then they'll eventually combine it into two. I'm very glad they're putting it all in the same kind of universe, that meaning that if I watch certain things on Hulu, it'll then sort of propagate saying, hey, you know what? The show's now live and you can, you know, check it out now. Or, hey, you missed the episode. Cool. Well, here's, you know, the season at the very beginning, so you can kind of catch up and then immediately like ready to go live.
So one of the things we've talked about on this show several times is me wishing that, you know, there was some kind of service that already knew the kind of things that I would like.
Your concierge service.
Yeah, would just feed it to me. But I don't know that we've ever really discussed what the price to make that happen might be. For example, would you be comfortable with giving Hulu your Netflix credentials, your Facebook credentials, your Twitter credentials, so it could look at everything you've talked about and watched over the last however amount of time?
I mean, isn't that the idea for, you know, the Apple TV application?
It's essentially the same thing that Apple's trying, but they can't get the Netflix API to work.
What would you make you think that they would give that to Hulu all of a sudden?
No. I'm not talking about
If I could have that, and how much would I be willing to pay for it?
No. You misunderstand me. Is giving up that data precious to you in any meaningful way? Like, would you be happy to give up all the data of all the stuff you actually watch if in exchange you got the most precise recommendations possible?
I mean, probably not. Especially if, like, I'm assuming if we take the idea of like, okay, you have OAuth for Twitter, so you can kind of, you know, granularly select what they can and can't see with permission. Same with Facebook, same with all the other things. I'm already in the habit of, like, when it goes to a site, saying, yeah, I'll log in with Facebook. Yeah, I'll log in with Twitter. So I'm already kind of giving that sort of data away without thinking about it. I already assume that no matter what I publish online, it's going to be public.
Sure. Okay. But you wouldn't be creeped out if the new Hulu service, the new Hulu, whatever, basically said, we know who you are. We know all of your footprint on all of the internet. We're just going to check everything out we're going to figure out what we think you're going to like and serve it to you.
Like, there are only two places I watch normal television.
Those are specifics.
But what I'm saying is that I'm already giving Hulu that information as I am now. In other words, I'm using Hulu to watch television.
So your answer is yes. You have no problem
because I'm already doing that.
With full – what about you, Tom? We never really talked about the privacy versus fidelity discussion.
No, it's really cool. It's a really cool question because Hulu already has a lot of my viewing habits because I use it for watching certain things. And yet it doesn't recommend exactly the right stuff because it didn't have profiles for a long time. So some of the stuff was Eileen, some of it was mine. Now they've got profiles. So that's going to be essential for this. If I start watching all my live TV there, it'll get better at recommending things. I think that's fine. Up to a certain point, I'm with Roberto. I'm like, yeah, of course. I don't mind that it knows that I watch these shows and then can therefore give me better recommendations. As soon as it does the other thing you're saying, which is, hey, and we're also going to look at your Facebook profile and we set some cookies with the Google ads and we're going to use that stuff. I start to get nervous. I want to have a lot of control if they were to do something.
I will say to
everybody watching, they're not saying they're going to do stuff. Brian's just putting out a rhetorical question. Like, how far would you go to make those recommendations better?
What I'm now really curious, especially because Hulu has the I guess it's Hulu Plus where you can get ad free, and that's what I pay for.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm now really curious how that's going to affect with the live stuff, because like the one thing I adore of Hulu when I pay more
is
for
no
it,
ads.
Is no ads. I have no problem paying more for ads.
It's not like you can skip ahead of time. Right. When the whole world is
like
watching
I,
ads.
That's sort of like my like I'm okay waiting a day if I do not have to see an ad. Like everything I paid for, whether it be YouTube Red or Hulu or even you know Rooster Teeth, you know First Member kind of thing, it's all because I hate ads.
I think PlayStation View's big advantage right now is having a cloud DVR, but the annoying thing about it is that you have to fast forward through ads. What Hulu can do, because they have the ad-free tier, is say, hey, if you're willing to keep that $12 a month ad-free tier, instead of DVRing things, we'll tell you when we have a copy. And they've actually said that. We'll tell you when we have an on-demand copy, and that one will always be commercial-free. The one on your DVR won't, and if we don't have an on-demand copy, you can record The Walking Dead or something like that, and that's fine. That's
the Sports Center or whatever. You know, and that, I think that's the advantage, is that you have a service that has sort of figured out how to do the catch-up, the idea of like, well, you can binge-watch the season of stuff. You can kind of catch up on the series and to do it ad-free. And then you have, well, cool, now you've caught up. Hey, guess what? This is coming in live now, and that sort of makes a lot of sense for Hulu, especially if you've ever watched any show on Hulu. They'll always have that little interstitial before it saying like, this show, you know, Fridays at 8 p.m. on Fox or whatever. And now it's like, oh, well, it's 8 p.m. right now. And it could say, hey, this show is now live. Do you want to watch now?
Yeah, I could totally see them maybe doing a thing where it's like there's a countdown, like let's say, you know, 13 minutes after the show starts, it's like ad-free experience begins now. Thank you for your monthly contribution or whatever. I don't know, kind of went all over the map with this one, but nice. Good that live stuff is coming. I think it's a good, interesting question what that's going to do as far as, you know, for paying people to skip ads and all that stuff. Privacy, yeah. I still don't know where I'm at, because really all we're talking about is somebody looking. We're basically talking about an AI smart enough to look at your behavior in all of the public venues that you act and make a really good guess about what you're going to act.
But that's been
and
your dream.
Theory,
that's been your dream since day one. Like you've been talking about.
My dream is a nightmare. It's
well, you've been talking about the concierge service so many times. Like,
yes, but that's in the privacy of my own bedroom. They don't go. You don't need to go out and go watch all this other. It's different. It's different.
Well, it looks like what the one thing that is happening here is good competition is forcing the content holders to start to have to crumble a little. Remember, PlayStation View could only get a 28-day window on recordings for their cloud DVR. Sounds like Sling is not going to have that on their DVR if it ever comes out of beta. Sounds like Hulu is not going to have that. Maybe PlayStation View will be able to drop that too. Hulu already has pre-existing on-demand relationships that are way better than anything PlayStation View or Sling TV has. So it sounds like that's going to be better. Maybe that will, you know, help loosen up the on-demand deals that PlayStation and Sling have. Overall, it looks like we're winning. And a side note here is that Disney, remember, Disney has given its new stuff to Netflix. When a Disney movie comes out of the theater window, it's coming to Netflix now. Disney signed a multi-year deal with Hulu to bring its classics, its live-action and animated classics, to Hulu for on-demand. So the older cartoons, the older live-action stuff is going to be showing up in Hulu's on-demand catalog.
Yeah. Yeah, Mighty Ducks is already on there for those who were in the 90s and want to watch another movie. But it's actually kind of cool. I actually kind of checked out a couple days ago the Disney lineup there. It has pretty much everything you'd think of, Hercules and
oh, good.
Like that. Yeah, so it's interesting that that's happening, because Disney had always been keeping a lot of that behind some paywalls.
Does Disney have any Hulu's NBC and CBS?
Hulu is owned by Disney, Comcast, a small bit by Time Warner, and Fox.
Yeah.
But Fox and Viacom, Disney are the only ones who can make decisions, because Comcast bought NBC Universal.
And I guess we just assume it's a different piece of Disney making the decision to put this stuff on Netflix, because I can't imagine that the Hulu side of regardless, it's definitely smart for the brand.
I mean, what Disney's doing is saying, let's diversify. Let's make a deal with Netflix. Let's make a deal with Hulu. Let's make a little bit of our own stuff. You know, let's try to monetize
It's Disney, it's Marvel, it's Lucasfilms, it's Touchstone, it's like everything, you know.
Man, Touchstone.
I'm just saying, like, that's I think even Miramax is somewhere in that mix. I forget where.
It's Muppets.
Down in Beverly Hills.
Hey, you know who aren't Muppets? Our patrons, the people who make this show possible. We could not do it without you guys keeping us loud, live, and independent at patreon.com/courtkillers.
Heck yeah, man. If you want to play our favorite mini game, head on over to graftreon.com/creator/courtkillers. You'll be able to see how we've been doing over the years. And I got to tell you, man, it's been it's remarkable to me to see that, like, every day it's the best video game we've ever played. We get up here, we give the news, and then we see directly how our score is doing with you guys. You have more power, more influence than you possibly can know, and we can't thank you guys enough for making all this possible.
And now it's time to talk about how to watch all this stuff.
Tom, it seems like the only way we could talk about how to watch is if we had, you know, maybe thanks to some money given to us by fine patrons, if we were able to afford to send a reporter to one of them highfalutin like CES shows or something to could give us a boots on the ground report. But that's not possible.
Well, we had just enough to send me for 2 days.
Oh, how did it go?
It went great. I got to see pretty much the big announcements at the evening press conferences. Let's start with the Air TV. That was announced the very first day people were getting into Las Vegas on Monday last week. It's a set-top box that runs Android TV that can integrate your over-the-air channels from a separate over-the-air antenna that you plug into it into the Sling TV channel guide, which is pre-installed on the box. And it can also run Android TV apps. So it comes pre-installed with Netflix and YouTube, but you can download and add any Android TV apps you want. The Bluetooth remote has voice control. There's infrared for controlling sound systems, so you can do it all from one. And it's available for order now, $130. Or if you don't want the antenna adapter, if you're like, I don't care about over the air, but I do like this sound of this Android TV box, you can get it for $100. And then if you want to add the antenna later, it costs you $40.
So, do you realize how exciting this is that we're finally at a point where it's easier to define the new devices by what they're not capable of doing? Instead, like that's the smaller category. So at this point, assuming you plug it in, you get your over-the-air antenna, this is everything, right?
It's everything Sling TV has that you pay for and anything that you can get over the air reception all in one guide. Now, they haven't launched their DVR yet, so it'll be really interesting if they plug the cloud DVR into this and let you record your over the air programs to cloud. But that is not what they're talking about yet.
That would be interesting.
Did Roberto, have you given Sling a try yet?
I have not. I've been sort of waiting for the market to develop a lot more and to figure out which one I'm going to go with, whether it be Hulu's new offering, PlayStation View, Sling, any of the I think even AT&T has one now. But I do see that, like, even though I'm not the guy that watches a lot of over-the-air content, I can see how that would make it a heck of a whole lot more viable just to be able to work in your local program, especially if you, like, watch a lot of local news, something like that.
I got to be honest. Like, I noticed just recently that I'm still subscribed to Sling, and I was like, well, you know, Preacher's going to come back soon. like I literally subscribe, you know, Better Call Saul, that'll be back any minute now. Where's your excitement on this, Tom?
This is interesting. And I think it's interesting that Dish is getting into the device market. I'm not sure how many people are going to pick this thing up because it does get smaller and smaller, the number of people who would want it when you're like, over the air, good reception, wants Sling TV, doesn't care about DVR. But it's not a bad bet for them. And it'll likely lead to better future devices from Dish, who are looking ahead very smartly at saying, hey, we're not going to be able to sell these Dish satellite boxes forever. Yeah. Let's figure out how to sell some other equipment,
especially on the software end. If they've got Android sort of covering that, that can go light years ahead of, like, just some silly, you know, set top box you get from, like, any of the vendors.
Hold on. So you're saying your point is like the mere fact that it's got the Android ecosystem means that it can expand? Or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. I mean, it's
I think from the consumer perspective, that actually turns me off. It starts to feel like in the living room.
What I'm saying is that you have the advantage of having a app that is developed, that is then updated, that then can have new things. So as say for, you know, it's always been like the fear whenever people talk about smart TVs, they're always like, well, this is terrible. I can't update the apps. I can't do anything with it. It only has a certain lifespan. Yep. But now you have this little box that has software on it that is being readily developed, you know, has a large base behind it.
Well, it just just doesn't have to spend all the money developing.
Exactly. You know, and that's a very big thing, because a lot of, you know, everyone, when they talked about like TiVo, was like, oh, the software is great. It's amazing. Hardware, not so much. It's like, well, cool. Well, now you have this sort of standardized software being developed that's, you know, has a lot of force behind it. That's what makes me excited for that kind of stuff.
Got a couple other products that I saw at CES talk about here too. The Mohu Airwave is an antenna from Mohu. So that part is familiar to most of you, but it has a built-in ability to stream over-the-air television through Wi-Fi. So you install the Mohu Airwave app on Fire TV, Apple TV, Chromecast, Roku, iOS, Android, or the web, and you can get the reception from the Mohu Airwave and just put it wherever you have the best reception. That's $150 coming later this spring.
Oh, wow. What a weird idea. Okay, so hold on. So you're saying, let's say you live in an unfortunately placed apartment, and there's like, you know, only in one room in the corner, up in the corner is the only place that you get decent signal. You can actually place it there and then just and just Wi-Fi it everywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wouldn't have to run a wire at all. You just put it up there and the Wi-Fi takes it to your box.
There has to be extra lag doing it that way, right?
You know, a little bit. Simple TV and Tableau work exactly the same way, but they require you to provide your own antenna. So what Mohu's doing is saying, hey, we make antennas. Let's come up with our own device so it's all in one.
I feel bad. I feel like this is the part where I know there's some section of our audience that is deeply in love with over-the-air signals. And I feel myself getting farther and farther away from them.
I know, me too. Like, right? That's sort of been my, when I was reading all the articles, I was like, I'm glad these exist. I'm glad that people are making really cool devices for this segment of the market.
Right.
This is definitely not my segment of my market.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and especially the added layer of somebody who has, I'll tell you what, I want more than ever for somebody to write us at cordkillers@gmail.com and let us know if you're the guy or the girl.
I'm the guy. I use over-the-air TV all the time. Especially now that the CW is only available on an app with commercials. I can easily skip commercials in TiVo on the CW shows. Okay. When we were watching the Golden Globes last night, we were watching it over the air antenna. When we want to watch some live NFL, a lot of times it's better video with the uncompressed over the air signal. So I'm not saying don't write in as well, but I am also that guy.
Well, okay. Sorry. I have questions, but we also have a schedule. So,
well, we have one more over the air antenna. That was the big thing in cord cutting, was over the air devices are starting to become something you see more of. And Tableau, we mentioned Tableau just now, has come up with a couple of different products. One is called the Tableau Droid. So you connect a USB antenna to Android TV. You just plug the antenna into this. You plug this into an Android TV. Starting, it's only going to be available for the NVIDIA Shield, but eventually it'll be available for more things. And then the software, which is free with a 30-day free trial or $3.99 a month for the guide data, will turn that Android TV into a tuner. So you can actually get the software and install it on the Shield or eventually any Android TV, and then use a Haupage tuner as well. As long as you've got a tuner going in there, it'll work with the software and then work directly into your Android TV. This is if you want to run the wire to it. That's sure, coming to Google right. Play in Q2, and the device is coming in Q2. They didn't announce a price. And then Tableau Live is just a cheaper version of the Tableau. It's one tuner, no storage, streams over the air to Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, Android TV, Chromecast, and mobile, and that'll be $99. But the coolest thing they announced is upcoming. They don't have a price or release date, but it's Tableau Cloud. So if you're using any of this Tableau stuff, you'll be able to use a Tableau Cloud account to store your recorded shows in the cloud.
So, okay, here's a fun question. So many of these solutions, the over-the-air antenna and all that stuff, that's really just a distribution problem, right? Oftentimes, the majority of these markets, as I understand it, exist simply because high capacity broadband internet right. does not exist, right? Like if you live out in the middle of Montana, you know, you probably don't have great internet. So, you know, downloading 4K streams of whatever exactly. is not possible.
Well, a lot of this over the air content is not available on the internet.
Yeah,
well, that's okay, and you're right, and that is a second problem for it. But how far away are we from ubiquitous internet of equality that allows all of these to seem like silly workarounds.
Well, and then the question becomes, how long before the television broadcasters decide it's not worth it to spend the money broadcasting?
Yeah.
Don't want the FCC license anymore. We're going to go online only anyway, because that's where everyone has. Because right now it makes a lot of sense if you've got good reception and you want that programming to put up an antenna. You spend $99 and suddenly you're getting all this free programming. And for a lot of cord cutters, it is the broadcast television stuff that they're looking for, or they're not that picky. They just want a bunch of channels. And there's all these alternate HD channels that you don't get on cable. So it makes a lot of sense in a cost-saving manner for certain situations. What happens is when the television stations decide they're not going to broadcast their signal over the air for free anymore.
Yeah. What's your guess?
See, my weird thing is that if we, as we're going, and that is where the trajectory is going, everything's going to be online. It's going to use that as our distribution pipe for media, no matter what.
But you see, and I feel, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I feel like it's going to be, like Zeno's paradox, right? Where it's like, that gap is going to get smaller and smaller, but it's never going to disappear. Well, always going to be, the question, as Tom was saying, whether or not it's cost effective.
What I'm more interested in is what's going to happen to like local broadcasts at that point. Because like the advantage of having over the air, I think, is that you get something way more local. You know, you can, for example, get your evening news that happens to be local news, that kind of stuff, which seems a bit odd as we talk about these networks.
Do you watch your local evening news?
I keep up with at least some like the Statesman a lot of times here in Austin.
Print media, I totally do.
And this is sort of what I'm wondering what's going to happen, because I have enough friends that have worked in that kind of, you know, environment and work at sort of studios. And again, that's what happens. But
what's funny is I follow people who cover the local beats on Twitter.
Yeah,
where they'll link me to their print articles. And
for
whatever.
Sure, as far as
television.
No, that's what I'm really wondering is what's going to happen to that.
What about you, Tom?
I mean, over the air to me right now makes perfect sense. Like if it's maybe because the shows you guys want to watch aren't there that it doesn't make sense for you. But if you want to watch Sunday football, but you don't want to pay a bunch extra, free over the air antenna.
That's also very interesting.
If you want to watch the Oscars, free over the air antenna.
Yep.
You want to watch the major network programs, including the CW and Univision, over the air antenna, man. You can get a lot of good stuff for free over the air. How long that's going to last?
That's going to be really interesting.
I think it'll last longer than we think because there are a lot of people who rely on over the air who are elderly or on a fixed income. And those are the people who are usually crying out if there's ever any kind of change to how things are broadcast, like when they did the digital TV switchover from analog a while back.
And there's still other things too, like PBS and stuff like that. Like
PBS ahead of game, though. You can just log into PBS, give them your zip code, and get all the PBS stuff. You don't have to authenticate or anything.
And
we'll talk about that in spoiler in time, but thank you for the tip on that. It's how I enjoyed Sherlock this morning.
Well, because that's also the last thing I'll say is just like, man, if everyone goes internet, that makes geo like lockout a heck of a whole lot easier.
And it stops you from fast forwarding.
And that's something that a lot of your football
signal,
stuff.
I can fast forward through my commercials.
But a lot of your NFL, your baseball, your sports events, the things that Tom is like, that's what I watch a lot of over the air content for, becomes a heck of a whole lot easier to geo lockout and blackout things. And that's something that they love to do.
I'm going to just throw this out there, but I strongly suspect that along with that will come the if a lot of the unpleasantness of ads is a side effect of them not being able to control the ad experience. As that control gets bigger and they can know for sure that you can have exactly 10 million eyeballs for exactly 14 seconds at this exact moment, I think that it will become in general a much more pleasant experience where it's like, we're pretty sure it's 20 million eyeballs, give or take. We'll throw this 30-second ad. We know a bunch of them are going to skip it and all that stuff.
Well, and theoretically, you're targeting an ad that's like, we know Brian is really going to like and respond to this ad.
Correct. And I'm going to be all like, it's great. I that's a problem that I'm having right now. And there's a solution. Thank you very much, ad.
I just wait for our blipvert future.
Yeah, no, I'm all about blipverts.
All right, we do all this crazy stuff because we want to watch things, so let's talk about what to watch under surveillance.
Not like real estate, it's all about location.
Under surveillance.
just announced Twin Peaks will debut on Showtime May 21st. This is the reboot. Not reboot. It's actually continuing on from the 90s series. Right after the premiere airs on Showtime May 21st, you'll be able to watch episodes 3 and 4 on Showtime anytime, the digital streaming service, whether you're authenticating with cable or buying it individually.
Yeah, but how is this going to affect my favorite podcast, Damn Fine Podcast?
Well, Ron and I had a call right before the show, actually, to figure out like how many double episodes we're going to have to do between now and May 21st to get our rewatch to time up. But we're very excited.
That's awesome, man.
Hulu is teaming up with the BBC to make a series called Hard Sun from Luther creator Neil Cross. The show is set in Earth 5 years from an apocalypse that can't be avoided, you know, like a meteor coming or an asteroid coming, and follows detectives trying to enforce the law when everyone knows everyone's going to die in 5 years.
Dude, that you read Seven Eves, right?
Yeah.
That was hard. That was really hard. It's very, very good.
Give me the pitch.
It's about an Armageddon that's pretty unavoidable. Take two. It's
about an Armageddon where Neil deGrasse Tyson and a couple other people can survive.
Yeah, no, it really is weird.
Interesting. Neil deGrasse
Tyson. But it's a very Tyson-like character.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's a fascinating world. And in so many ways, like it's fascinating because it's dark and lonely and there's nothing to be done about it. It's also factually the world in which we live. Like this world will end someday. And whether we set the timeline to 5 years from now to make things storytelling more interesting or 5 million years when the sun explodes, I don't know. It's really... Yeah.
I'm excited it'll be like a BBC show because I know that means it'll be completed.
Yeah,
it'll
be, it's a Hulu show. Really excited about the sun exploding.
It's Hulu. Well, it's Hulu, but
BBC couldn't. This is why I say this. BBC was having a hard time getting it done, and Hulu has now joined in to make it happen.
Right, but what I'm saying is that because typically British television has a beginning and an end and a complete story.
You're saying stylistically, yes. BBC is very good at getting in and getting out and
right.
done.
Yeah, that's what makes me excited. I'll actually see a complete show.
Twitter continues to add live sports coverage with an exclusive deal to stream parts of 31 PGA golf tournaments this year. However, Twitter's still building its leverage. It's going to only be able to stream pregame and the first two holes of each day's marquee group. But it's free. You don't even
care.
Have to log into Twitter.
Don't care. Don't care. They know this is right. This is a good idea. Good on Twitter.
I'm happy that it's happening, but I mean, like usually the last hole is kind of what sort of is the end. You don't want like, and the first two drives, done, cool.
I don't know, though. I mean,
I don't know. Watch golf. I don't know. Maybe those are the great holes.
Maybe golf's one of those games that everyone tunes in for the beginning, and they're like, from here on out, they just hit the ball.
I have enough family members that have watched golf live. Typically, you have it in the background, and you kind of periodically look at the scores, like who's plusing, who's minus, that kind of stuff.
You can tweet the pluses and the minuses.
Netflix has commissioned Love Alarm. It's a 12-part series based on the Korean comic about an app that helps people find love within 10 meters of themselves. Jae-moon Lee will produce. It's set for debut in 2018. And this is another example of Netflix moving into new markets and getting original content for them. This is their first big original to come out of Korea.
This is a real thing, right? Wasn't it like a Tamagotchi you would wear and all of a sudden it had like a boner alarm would go off and be like, you can get busy with someone nearby?
That does sound familiar, yeah.
Right?
Sure. Apparently, the fictional part of this is that this one works.
It sounds like you know a lot about this product.
It's based on an app that helps people find love within 10 meters. So it is a locational-based hookup app.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah.
Amazon has renewed The Man in the High Castle for a third season. Eric Overmyer, who ran Bosch, will serve as the showrunner and executive producer in the third season. If you remember, Frank Spotnitz was the showrunner and was taken off the project halfway through season two.
You've watched the second season of this now,
I haven't
right?
finished it yet.
Okay. But at this point, like this is that do or die momentum. Like I bought into the idea of it. So I watched the pilot and started watching it. Didn't like some of the things they introduced in the third or fourth episode. But now that I just don't want to get deadwooded, right? Like at this point, can I feel confident about diving in and not getting deadwooded on this?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. This would have been the worst thing to happen, having a showrunner leave in the middle of a season. And they basically just convinced one of their other hot showrunners to jump in and take it over. So it seems like Amazon's very committed to it.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, as much as I loved season one because I'm a fan of the book, I'm loving season two because it's a really good story.
Yeah, because it's like it's in the world that you like, but all of a sudden you're getting to discover all these novel other elements to it.
And it's got a little more focus than season one, I feel like.
All right.
Elation, which is an AT&T subsidiary, Crunchyroll is the owner, has a new multi-channel streaming service called VRV that has gone live. That was announced in June. It aggregates premium content from digital networks like Crunchyroll, Nerdist, Rooster Teeth, Tested, Rift Tracks, Machinima, and more, and offers a combo pack with 8 channels for $10 a month, focusing on mobile and TV apps first. A web player is planned for later.
Hot damn. Okay. So the benefit... You would pay $10 a month and it would be just a more TV-like experience, but for content that you could otherwise find on YouTube?
Well, because these are premium subscription services.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Like Rich Teeth has a...
So it's a bundle, basically. Yeah. All right.
That's awesome.
Though the trade-off that I've read is that right now none of these services go back to their native apps. So if you got, say, Geek & Sundry via VRV... You would not be able to get that premium experience via Geek and Sundry. You have to do it through this thing.
Hey,
okay. It's like subscribing to Stars on Amazon instead of the Stars app.
The only one that does work with is Crunchyroll, and that's because Crunchyroll is a sister of all of us.
I forgot. Yeah.
Also, not for nothing, but that logo for Tested, didn't it used to say Jamie and Adams Tested? Now just says Adam Savage's Tested?
I think so.
Yeah.
Huh. Right. That's the thing.
All right, we got a few things in the trailer park this week. Trailer is out for NBC's Powerless, about the people of Wayne Security. Yeah, probably that Wayne, who protect the people of Charm City from the effects of superhero fights. Stars Vanessa Hudgens, Danny Pudi, and Alan Tudyk. Premieres February 2nd.
And we've talked about this before. I don't mind that it. you pointed out. The fact that this is a lighthearted romp kind of implies that basically the same people trashing the city are the ones selling insurance for the city. Don't care. Love the idea of a damage control style lighthearted romp.
I do too, especially because that's always been the question when it comes to superheroes. Like, oh, who cleans this mess up?
Who's going to
fix this?
Yep, absolutely. There's also a trailer out for The Good Fight. That is the Good Wife spinoff. And will be the first CBS All Access original to premiere on the service starting February 19th, because Star Trek isn't coming until later this year.
In my mind, it's just The Good Wife, like in a a UFC fight or something. But that's not it.
The Good Wife Club.
The Good Fighter. The Good Wife Fighter. The Wife Fighter. They tried all of those. Those were all workshops.
It's called Wife Fight. It's up against Wife Swap, and they're just beating the crap out of each other.
And Hulu released a trailer for The Handmaid's Tale starring Elizabeth Moss as Offred. Elizabeth Moss, you may remember, was in Mad Men, set to premiere on April 26th, based on the Margaret Atwood novel.
Yeah, that sounds like a thing I don't know anything about.
You never read The Handmaid's Tale?
Nope.
Do you know what it's about?
I'm assuming it's not the saucy Canterbury tale.
No.
Okay.
It's not, but that is the inspiration for the title. Yeah. It's about...
It's not the Miller's tale.
It's about an America that has become a religious republic, and people are being forced to follow these very puritanical rules.
Unlike our actual America.
Totally different.
Ooh, boy.
Hot takes.
Hot takes.
Let's talk about what we're watching, starting with you, Roberto. What have you been looking at?
Oh, just the usual. I finally saw Rogue One the other day. Definitely enjoyed it.
Can we revisit Rogue One? I think Rogue One merits a revisit, maybe in spoiler.
Yeah, I got a couple emails in spoiler time.
I'll definitely have my take on it.
Okay, all right.
It should be fun. Ruby Volume 4 kicked off again. The Rooster Teeth. It was funny you guys mentioned Rooster Teeth. I'm like, yeah, I'm totally in that app. But actually, the thing I want to talk about, I watched last night. It's this new documentary came out called Viva Amiga.
About the Amiga computer?
Talks about the enthusiasts of the group. It actually premiered this past weekend debuted at MAGFest this past weekend, sort of like this video game music kind
of thing. So the Amiga was revolutionary for its video production capabilities.
Yeah, they talk all about that. Video Toaster comes into play, all the stuff. It's weird because I was never like I was alive when the Amiga was there, but I never was like an Amiga user.
I was in high school. I used to buy Amiga magazines just to fetishize and to look at the pictures. I never owned an Amiga, never touched an Amiga, but I was so excited.
Yeah, the dock is really, it's a really solid dock. It has like the entire like dev team, because I never knew when the Amiga came out they had like Andy Warhol come, you know, in
oh
in
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
they show
right,
all the
yeah.
video, and like one of the guys is talking like how they're trying to guide Andy to do stuff because like the fill feature, like last they checked, would like completely crash everything. And then Andy pulls the fill feature out. It's like, oh, it worked. And it didn't crash. It was like this like amazing kind of thing. It's really solid doc, really interesting, kind of shows not only the history of Amiga, but sort of the fan base and now.
Where can we see it?
I forgot the website, but it's Viva Amiga. There's a website out there. It's on everything from Amazon to iTunes to
just Vimeo. Look for it.
Just look for it. It, like I said, it just debuted. It just very came cool. out like a couple days ago, really.
Now, Brian, both of us have caught up on Justified, so I know we didn't have a regular Cord Killers for a few weeks, but in spoiler and time will be episodes 11, 12, and 13 of season 4. We both watched the first episode of Sherlock that premiered last week. We'll be talking about that. But is there anything else you want to mention, Brian?
You know, I just have this vague sense that I've watched an awful lot of YouTube, but I can't really even point to what it is. Like my viewing habits, I'm certain that I'm not watching less video entertainment than I ever did before. But it's amazing to me how much of it is becoming that piecemeal stuff. Like I'll watch a lot of Red Letter Media's content continues to be amazing, and it's
I was actually
so
watching Best of the Worst just old episodes last night.
It's so good. Throw it on and play Hearthstone and listen to an hour and a half of it. Yep. I guess that.
The surprising thing that I have been watching a lot of, we went to the movies a few times over the break. I saw Passengers, great two-thirds of a movie before they changed the plot to be an action movie.
Hold on. By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I forgot that you and I had an exchange about this. You asked what have I seen? And I said, I saw Jackie over the break. And then, And Tom says, oh, we didn't watch the second Sherlock. How's Jackie? I said, she's dead now.
And if you don't know, the person who books our show is Jackie Hearn. She's wonderful. And I thought, oh, Jackie must have passed through Austin over the break. So I say, how is Jackie? No, the best part, Brian, is I just get the notification on my phone that says, she's dead now, I think.
Wow. Wow.
I meant Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
Wow. Of course, once I open the full message, it becomes clear that you mean the movie Jackie, because you say most of it focused on the week after her husband was assassinated.
Yes.
Which I'm like, I'm pretty sure Jackie doesn't have a husband.
Very, very well acted. I especially liked that the cinematography went out of its way to look so perfectly like the colors saturation and the out of focusness. The only thing missing was frame jitter to make it look like it was from the 1960s. It was amazing.
Yeah.
We love you, Jackie Hearn.
Yeah, Jackie.
Yes,
Jackie
very glad
says
that you're
I quit.
Not
yeah,
Jackie
exactly. Say, she just says I quit. Like that's it, done. Out.
And that you're alive. Also saw Hidden Figures, which I highly recommend.
Oh, you
like
it?
It's just a really good movie. Ooh. It's about three people. It is, of course, the story of three African American women who are acting as computers back when computers is what you called the people who did the calculations. At the time that NASA is putting John Glenn into orbit and they need calculations for him and Alan Shepard's flights. But it is just a really good movie in so many more ways than just the amazing story that it tells. And the surprising thing that happened to me is my wife started watching Gilmore Girls, which in season one, I was sort of, gently saying like, the troubles of privileged white people in Connecticut. How interesting. And I totally got sucked in.
And by the way, this is coming from a man. You shouldn't have been surprised because I know you liked Downton Abbey, right? I mean,
it's sure, like, but that's like different era of privileged white people in a different country, Brian.
Not so close to my era.
Fair enough.
English accents.
I remember someone giving me some guff a couple months ago when I was excited for the new Gilmore Girls. So I'm just gonna say, like.
Dude,
welcome to the team.
By the way, number one comment when I bought a Jeep Wrangler was everyone was like, "That's the Gilmore Girls truck."
Like, oh yeah.
What's great is it just ends up being a really good like small town comedy drama, and it's got good snappy writing and good actors, and it's got a bit of northern exposure to it, except a small town in Connecticut.
Right on.
Yeah. Who knew? We've also been off for 3 weeks, and Bryce has had a lot of suggestions to look through for On the Lookout.
That's right. By the way, doing the Lord's work, this one. Absolutely. Thank you, everybody who sends in their suggestions to courtkillers@gmail.com. Thank you.
We got so many. Thank you, everybody who sent them in. Sorry, our TV stopped working.
it was really weird. There's a TCL monitor that has the built-in Roku.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, just suddenly loaded Netflix.
It loaded up Netflix.
Are we going to watch Gilmore Girls? What's going on?
Yeah, new. It surprisingly was ready to go.
Watch it.
I was like, cool.
So weird. So weird. All right. Hey, guys. So I have two things because we kind of took a week off for On the Lookout. The first, we talked about this a few weeks ago because of the very controversial social media campaign that Netflix put out for it. But it's the OA on Netflix. I got a chance to watch this on the flight home, and man, this is a weird show.
This is the one where they released Vanished and then came back, and there's a moment in there that's supposed to be like a found footage moment of somebody, you know, portrait style showing a woman committing suicide,
jumping off of a bridge,
and they just released it kind of as is
on Twitter with like no information. It's a weird show. It is very controversial. Like I'm going through message boards and reading people's reactions to it.
What's the quick pitch?
So the quick pitch is it's about this woman, Prairie Johnson, who disappeared 7 years ago and she was blind. And then she comes back after that video of her, this video of her jumping off of a bridge surfaces and she's in the hospital. And so she's back with her family and also she can see again. And so her parents and the FBI and all of these people around her are like kind of pressuring her for what actually happened over those 7 years.
Well, and if I remember correctly, like in the preview, there was a scene where like she didn't recognize her parents because she had never seen them before. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird story stuff that goes on in here between. I don't even want to talk too much about
it
because
that sounds intriguing. Already.
I went in blind. And,
so to speak.
And it was great.
there's somebody who did not find that funny. Our blind listener was like, hey, wow.
Hang on a second.
You couldn't see the face I was making. It was a joke. Even the first episode it sets up a really great mystery. And it has a one really great moment about halfway through that, like, I was like, oh, that's great. It's cool, and it's not going to be for everybody, but I think if you like The Leftovers or Lost or something like Glitch.
I like those shows.
Yeah, that sounds intriguing.
I think you might like it, and it's only 8 episodes this season.
Okay, it's not bad.
So, but it's controversial. We also got a letter in from T. Scott, and I wanted to kind of give another look at what you can watch. He recommended People of Earth. This is a new TBS single-camera comedy. TBS has had a lot of new shows this season.
Yeah.
He says, this show is a 30-minute dark comedy about aliens, a group of abductees, and an impending invasion force. The quirky humor is derived in a deadpan style, similar to The Office or Bored to Death. It scratches that 30-minute smart comedy itch, he says. This is another TBS sort of comedy. It's about an investigative journalist who's like going to an alien abductee's anonymous meeting and trying to find out their stories of being abducted, and along the way gets abducted himself, it looks like. So it finished up its first season. You can get that on TBS with a cable authentication. I don't know that
PlayStation View will give you the TBS On Demand library too. That's how I watched Angie Tribeca.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So check that out. I think there are 10 episodes in that season.
Hey, if you got something we should be on the lookout for, folks, don't be afraid to email us. Keep them coming. CordKillers@gmail.com.
Hey, wait a minute. What if somebody really wants to just throw some bucks our way and they want a story about a time-traveling pilot?
Wait a minute. You're talking about something like, Gary Whitta, the screenwriter of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and The Book of Eli, said, a time-bending space adventure that had me hooked from the start. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Holy crap. Did Gary Whitta say that about your book?
That's the blurb on the front page of the review copy of Pilot X.
That's so great.
I love how this is that's the reveal.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Dude, that's great. That's awesome. Great.
So that is out in reviewers' hands right now. And I just talked to the audiobook narrator. He's done a bunch of Ken Weber books before, and he did a lot of the Civil War history books out there as well. So that's underway. March 14th, Pilot X comes your way.
Are you
pre-orders
stoked?
In
are you
now at Xshares.com.
Have you finally accepted that you're like a legit-ass sci-fi author? Because it's you keep acting like, there it is. There it is. There's that self-doubt. There's that shake in the head. No, sir, dude. You're the real deal.
No, I'm just being honest. No, I have not yet accepted that. You're right.
Okay.
I'm now excited for the Audible version, I'm assuming, is on its way as well, included in that audiobook thing. That's awesome.
Yeah. Let me see. I don't want to get the man's name wrong. So let me find it real quick here. It's Kevin T. Collins, if you want to look around and see other things he's done. He'll be reading the book.
Cool. Right on. Dude, congratulations. Couldn't be happier for
Thanks,
you.
Man. Appreciate that. TomAirBooks.com, if you want to find the link to order it. Let's move on to the front lines.
Front lines!
Amazon's theater-released movie Manchester by the Sea received a Golden Globe for Best Actor for the performance by Casey Affleck. The movie is coming to Amazon Prime 90 days after release. So Amazon's doing a thing where they'll be the studio, put the movie in the theater in the normal 90-day window, then bring it to Amazon Prime. So expect late February for it to show up there. Amazon also won for Goliath. Billy Bob Thornton got a Golden Globe. And Netflix won several for The Crown. However, I think the bigger story is that NBC had to block the stream from Sling TV, PlayStation View, and DirecTV Now on mobile and set-top boxes, even if you were getting NBC usually through those locations. And apparently it was either the Hollywood Foreign Press, which operates the Golden Globes, or Dick Clark Productions, which makes the Golden Globes, that didn't give them the digital rights.
Glitch or intentional decision, do you think?
It was an intentional decision by somebody, probably not NBC, though.
Like what kind of pissing match must have been happening to get to that?
No idea.
I mean,
no idea.
Yeah.
Intentional. It had to be. Just rights, as it usually is.
More importantly, I'll give you a dollar, Roberto, if you could tell me what me and Casey Affleck have in common.
I can't even remember.
We were on the same episode of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Sorry.
So, amazing.
I think when you're on an episode of The Tonight Show with someone, you win every award they win after that.
Award brothers.
Which, by the way, was also the exact same night that George Harrison died. And so I get off stage.
So you also died that night.
I was so excited to be on The Tonight Show. And then I get a text from my friend. Yeah, I do the human crazy straw. And then I get a text that says, how come every time you're on The Tonight Show, a Beatle dies?
Wow.
Meanwhile, the NVIDIA Shield TV is available for pre-order at $200, shipping later this month. It supports Netflix and Amazon 4K HDR and YouTube, Google Play Movies, and Vudu in 4K. An upgrade will be in the coming months. We'll add Google Assistant as well. I gotta tell you, man, I went to Fry's Electronics. I bought my wife a laptop. I wandered into the TV section. I couldn't tell you which ones were HDR. Couldn't tell you which ones were 4K. I the difference was not as stark as I had hoped at this point. But you're happy with yours? ?
Yeah, the HDR I can tell, and it depends on the source. So bad on you, Fry's, for not putting better sources on, because the HDR should be visibly different. 4K, though, yeah. A lot of times I'm like, I guess it's got better contrast, maybe? Or am I imagining that?
Didn't they have some insane 8K displays at CES? Did you check out any of those?
Yeah, Dell had one. I didn't get to see one in person, though.
Yeah. All right.
More TVs out of CES, though. Tongfang Global introduced 4K TVs under its Westinghouse, Element, and Seiki brands. I did get a chance to see those. They range in four sizes, from 43 inches to 65 inches, and the spin from them is that they run Amazon's Fire TV OS, as well as Amazon Voice Services. So I actually was able to talk to one of these TVs at CES, and it works just like a Fire TV. Just built into the TV.
So cool. Amazon Voice Services, I mean, that's just Alexa, right?
You just turned on everybody's Amazon Echo, so I was trying to avoid saying
I'm sorry. Alexa, order more toilet paper.
No, people get so upset.
They don't like that when I do that.
I just got an Alexa and it pisses me off every time.
See, there was recently a legal case. Somebody was suing, saying, and...
Well, it only has three words it can listen to, and Alexa is the least common one. See, I prefer to say Cortana, turn off. Yes.
Okay, all right, stop.
Hey, no.
Yeah. Meanwhile, TCL debuted its 25 TV models running the Roku OS with HDR10 and Dolby Vision HDR. The 50-inch P-Series TV will launch for $500, all coming to North America. Dude, I'll tell you what, man. I love this TCL. Of all the monitors in this room, I think this one was, I think, $350. Is that right? Am I imagining that number?
You bought it.
Well, I mean, but it's a like a 47-inch, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it seems pretty nice.
I love it, and it's really good, and it's got a built-in
Netflix.
Roku.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Ratings startup Symphony AM put out its ratings for the most popular shows in 2016 based on viewership within the first 35 days after premiere. They have an app that listens to what people are watching and then can record it that way.
Like Alexa.
Yeah, Orange is the New Black was the top of their list, followed by Big Bang Theory, the CBS show, Netflix's Stranger Things and Fuller House, and then Designated Survivor by ABC was number 5.
That is awesome.
That is.
Meanwhile, awesome. Netflix just launched a new iOS app for DVD.com, which is the part of the Netflix that still rents DVDs. About 4.2 million people in the U.S. still rent DVDs. Get that. Netflix is still seeing quarterly revenues to the tune of $132 million from them.
That's crazy.
Physical but, media, Tom.
Yeah,
it's a
man.
Thing.
We were just talking.
I'll be
about
honest. Reading this story almost made me want to sign up because I'm like, yeah, there's some movies you can only get on DVD.
Well, you were talking earlier about the whole like, you know, there's some parts of the world that just can't get a 4K stream or even like a reliable thing. And like I said, there's money still to be made. Then rock on.
All right, let's finish off with some dispatches from the front. Take that, dispatches.
I'm gonna.
Jason Heil wrote in and said, "Happy holidays, guys. I recently rediscovered your show and I'm enjoying it immensely. Thank you. I'm glad you came back, Jason. Quick question. Do you have any recommendations for streaming in an RV? Because I don't want to use all my telephone data on the weekend and I don't want to watch the same old DVDs. I guess this is more of an internet question, but I figured I would ask people who know the most about streaming. If you can offer any help, we would greatly appreciate it." You really stuck for whatever Wi-Fi is available where you're putting your RV, which sometimes is not going to be very good, but you might try it. You might want to look into getting a different plan. T-Mobile just went unlimited for everybody. So you can get a decent stream out of T-Mobile. Sprint has some unlimited. If you're on Verizon or AT&T, you're right, it's going to be pretty costly. And otherwise, I'd just throw it open to folks in the audience. If there's anybody out there who does RVing, because I don't think any of the three of us do, who's got some tips and tricks, write in and we'll share them with Jason and everybody else.
Yeah, dude, I'd hate to. I can't come up with anything better, but I'm thinking, get a zero rate plan that lets you, you know, stream all the data and then do like a, you remember the Terry Gilliam movie Brazil, where they had those Fresnel lenses that they put in front of tiny screens to make them really big? Just do that on your phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Game Genie.
Well, and don't forget, Netflix has downloads now. So if you do a little pre-planning, you can download a bunch of Netflix so you
actually
don't have to stream it.
That's
and Amazon
very,
does that too.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's a great idea.
That might make more sense because the only thing I think of is like some of those like wireless internet services that exist that are like you buy a box and you have a 4G connection to it. And that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Tim writes saying, "I hope this gets to you before you record for the week. I just tried to download a couple of shows from Netflix for my ride home on the bus. And Netflix told me I could only download this title one more time before December 22nd, 2017. In preparing for a cross-country flight before Christmas, I had downloaded a bunch of stuff and didn't watch it. So I deleted it to free up space. Now I'm learning that you can only download something three times per year. I think that's reasonable, question mark.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to know so that you don't think, oh, well, I can download it as many times as I want, so let me mess around. I think most of the time in normal use, you wouldn't need to download it three times, but I get what Tim's after. He's like, hey, I was just, you know, over preparing and then I needed to clear up space. So it would be nice to know that there was a limit on that.
I had a weird thing on the vacation. I downloaded some Netflix shows for the ride out. And some of the episodes of the OA said, after I watched it, but I didn't delete it, it said, you can watch this for 72 more hours. But some episodes did not. Some shows did not. Like, I think my guess is that that's all a big patchwork still.
Oh, yeah.
I bet maybe that yearly download might be different for different
series. shouldn't have different rules within the episodes.
I was on airplane mode for different parts of it. Who knows what the license stuff means between connectivity? I couldn't test it all out, but it reminded me, because the week before we said, oh, actually there wasn't anything about the 72 hours, but there definitely is something. There are some restrictions on the Netflix downloads.
I'd imagine just like that's got to be a nightmare of rights, you know, just because you have.
Yeah, they're easing towards a place of sensibility.
No, for sure, they're figuring it out. But like, this is such a new thing, because I know Amazon had launched it, and then Netflix had to launch it to compete.
And they have their own. There's a whole menu on the Netflix app now that says these are like downloadable shows,
right?
And so you can go in and know that everything you're seeing can be downloaded.
Tim Jar wrote in and said, do you guys have a suggestion of a good app to keep track of all the TV shows and movies you want to watch? Every time you guys mention what you're watching, I want to add this somewhere, but I don't have a good hub for this other than an endless Google spreadsheet, which isn't that convenient, or tracking it on watch lists across multiple apps. If it happens to allow for music too, and maybe notes about why I've added it, that would be amazing. I use Sidereel for that. But it sounds like maybe you're saying, oh, I need something more than Sidereel because I want to do music in this. At that point, I'd say Evernote. Like, it just sounds like you need a really like high powered note.
Yeah. Yeah. Fanhattan became Fan TV? Wasn't that another one of those places to aggregate good stuff to watch?
Yeah, you could do searching for what was there, and you could mark stuff as favorites. But I like Sidereel because it'll track the show and kind of alert you when new episodes come out, let you know exactly where you are as you're watching. Like, oh, where did I leave off watching this series if you take a break from it? But it is particularly about TV shows, so it doesn't do all the things that Tim's asking.
On the movie side, I started using this app on iOS called To Do Movies. Sort of makes like a checklist of movies to watch.
Cool. Man, I don't want to think of movies as my to-do list.
Well, it's just because there's so many. Well, because like for me, I use like Golden Globes and Oscars as like, what did I miss the previous year that I need to watch?
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, okay, cool. Now I can put a kind of checklist of like, well, here's what I really want to see, and so either figure out what to watch it.
Meanwhile,
like
we got a fantastic note from one of our bosses who absolutely dug The Killies. To Brian, Tom, and Bryce, I enjoyed The Killies show very much. You all had very good choices. Cord Killers is one of my best recommendations for discovering new shows and movies. I'm especially happy that Tom included The Crown and Downton Abbey on his list. I'm also an Anglophile and enjoy those kinds of shows too. I normally watch zombies and science fiction, but enjoy history too. Thanks much. Best wishes in the new year. Yeah, dude. Loved. We also got a note from Dan saying, hey, Killers, just loved The Killies 2016. It would be cool if you guys did it quarterly. Much fun had by all. For something that was, pull back the kimono a little bit, kind of an excuse to fill an empty week while we all had busy things happening.
Yeah.
Seems like people really dug it.
Yeah. I liked our approach of saying, we're not going to try to say this is the definitive list. We're just going to say these are the things we liked. And I think people responded to that. So I don't know if we'd want to do it quarterly. It might undermine the punch, but maybe get more lists from people next time if we do it at the end of next year as an
aggregation. But again, as a what did I miss that someone else saw?
Yeah.
I trust.
What if we did Achilles Summer League?
Yeah, maybe Christmas in July.
Do I have to keep track of another draft? Must I look for a video game
yes.
Music?
But thank you, Dan. Thank you, Mike. And thanks to everybody who enjoyed that. We had fun doing it as well. And that's it for the show. Roberto, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And let folks know if they would like more Roberto.
Oh, I'm easy to find. You can just find me at Vincent404. They're on the Twitters. And pretty much everything I do, whether it be podcasting or otherwise, can be found there.
Are you guys still doing new episodes of Cinematography?
We were planning on more this year. It's Brant's been kind of busy with the whole.
I mean, I know it's a very production heavy show.
Yeah, it's funny because like one of the highest rated YouTube videos on the channel is the breakdown we did of 500 Days of Summer of Expectations versus Reality. I think it's like somewhere in the high thousands of views, just because it has like this immense SEO. But everyone who's on that video comments is like, this is the best breakdown we've ever seen this scene.
Including was it the director?
What happened, we tweeted originally and Brant had made a comment on something, because like whereas I take kind of the on any breakdown, I'll take the more story approach just because, you know, my background is an English major. He'll take more of the technical approach as sort of the background of his cinematographer sort of style. And he made a very technical kind of observation, and the director chimed in saying, yeah, that's correct. There's also some other things that he missed too. It was a really kind of amazing part of like, holy crap, they actually saw this.
That's awesome, man.
That's fantastic. Thanks again, everybody, for watching, supporting, spreading the word. Our website is cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We're live on diamondclub.tv Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We'll kill your cords next time.
Hey, guys. Tom and Brian here. We just wanted to say thank you to all of our $5 patrons who keep us loud, live, and independent. You guys make Cord Killers the production that it is.
Your name appears in the video credits and appears in our hearts. And if you'd like to become one of them or see who they are, you can go to patreon.com/cordkillers.
You'll need to do more than just go there, though. You'll have to sign up and, you know, pledge an amount. But
unless you just want to see who they are.
Well, I mean, you can gawk. That's a little creepy, isn't it?
If you want to be a gawker,
let's go.
It's up to you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.